Hi, welcome to our Life in the Trinity video for today. I'm glad to have you with me. We're going to talk about putting off and putting on, specifically meaning our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll have some prayer. We'll talk about the Word of God. We will have community together toward the end. If you want to prepare for that now, we'll close the benediction. So that's how we're going to start today. Let's begin with prayer. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, thank you that we can be here together. We're so grateful for all you've done for us through Jesus. We ask now by your Spirit that you would say what you need to say to us, that we would hear it, and we would respond in Christ's love in the way you would have us respond. And we thank you for doing all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what is your morning routine? So when you get up in the morning, do you, pop out of bed and run to the shower and get all cleaned up and ready for your day? Or do you blindly grope your way to the coffee pot so you can have a couple cups before you get started? Or are you one of those people that just the hand reaches over and thump on the snooze button and keep going and get another few minutes in and sleep? I know I feel that way when I've been up all night and just haven't been able to sleep. I just say, forget it. I'm getting a few more winks in here. But what we don't realize, I think, sometimes is our life in Christ is very much like getting up in the morning. The Apostle Paul talks about being alive from the dead in Christ. What does that mean? That means that God, the Son of God, comes, takes on our human flesh, lives our life, dies our death, and rises again. In that sense, in his death and resurrection, we died and we rose and we're alive from the dead. And so Paul uses some interesting illustrations, the difference between night and day. In the night, you're usually sleeping. In the night is a lot of times when crime occurs. Night is when we try to hide in the darkness, right? And then during the daytime, everything's exposed and, we do our daily work and so on. These are generalities, as you can see. But it's the concept of the difference between night and day. It's supposed to show us the difference between death and our new life in Christ, right? Similarly, being asleep and awake, if we're asleep, we're blind to the spiritual realities. We're just not awakened to faith in Christ. We are indifferent to God's will and God's way, that we're still asleep. Even though the truth is, God has come for us in Christ and rescued us from evil, sin, and death, we can live asleep to all that. But what we want is to come awake, go wake up to the reality of what we have in Christ and be alert and live fully alive and awake and aware of what's going on. And, maybe we need some coffee to get us going, but man, we need Christ. And that we want to wake up to the reality of what he's done for us. And the other concept here that Paul uses is one of the difference between bedclothes and work clothes. When you're sleeping, some of us like to wear pajamas of some kind. And when we get up in the morning, we take the pajamas off and we put our work clothes on, whatever our work clothes are. For some of us, right now, our work clothes may be our pajamas. I don't know. But, if you can work from home, it's kind of cool to not have to change your clothes. But anyway, Paul uses this illustration, though, to put off the old man that died with Christ and to put on Christ. And so we want to look a little closely at that. And we want to consider whether we have simply said, not right now, and shut off the alarm and just gone back to sleep. So That's an opportunity for us to think about that. So the Apostle Paul wants us to look at, to think about, what does love look like? And have you ever thought about it? I mean, if we're made in the image of God, who is love, other-centered love, Father, Son, and Spirit, who always lives in this pouring out and pouring into one another, this love that looks like that, what does that look like? And what does that mean for us to be image bearers of a God who is love? What does it mean for us to live in love? What we learn as we read the scriptures is love looks a lot like Jesus. Jesus is the embodiment and fulfillment of the law. I mean, he is the completion of the law. He is the, if you want to know what love looks like, we look at Jesus Christ, who laid down his life, you know, as it says in 1 John, that, you know, love will lay down its life the way that Jesus did. So, and Jesus himself even said that the law is fulfilled in loving our neighbor as ourself. That is to love God and love our neighbor as ourself. That is the law and its fulfillment. That's what Jesus did, obviously, perfectly, for which we are grateful, right? So we want to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, what does that look like? Now, a lot of times we have read the Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 as thou shalt. That means I have to go do it, right? That's prescriptive. But actually, what we need to realize is these are descriptive. It describes what it looks like to live in loving God and loving our neighbor. What does that look like? We go there and we see what it looks like. And then we turn to Christ, who does that in and through us, did that in and through our human flesh. He is the one who lived it out. He is the fulfillment, and he gives us his life by the Holy Spirit. He lives that out in and through us by the Holy Spirit. It's helpful to have descriptions because we want to be a participants in what Jesus is doing in and through us, right? We don't want to be walking the other direction when, you know, we don't want to sit around in our pajamas when Jesus is giving us work clothes to put on and a job to do, right? So we want to look at the descriptions and say, okay, that's what that looks like. Maybe I could practice doing that and we'll see what that looks like. So in Romans 13, 8 to 14, and I want to read this in the New International Version, just simply because that seemed to work best. But it says this: let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Now, that does not mean that you can't borrow money. What that means is if you're going to owe something, owe one another love, and don't owe each other love, be loving each other so you don't owe anyone love. It's a strong way of saying love one another because that it fulfills the law. I mean, it just does. And we owe it to one another in a sense that we're to love God and love one another, right? That's who we are. So Paul says the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you remember, those are part of the Ten Commandments. And Paul is simply saying the part of the Decalogue that is the Ten Commandments, actually, that is the love your neighbor as yourself. He's saying that's summed up, all those different things are summed up in this. And he says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Love just doesn't do harm to a neighbor. And therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And so he's focusing on, you know, what does it look like to keep the law, to fulfill the law? Jesus did fulfill the law, and he is love, and this is what love looks like. So Paul says, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Why is it nearer now? Well, Christ has come. He's lived our life. He's died again. He rose from the grave. He sent the Spirit. He's alive now in and through his church, and he's actively preparing the body of Christ for his return when he returns. Today is one more day closer to that. Your life may end today, tomorrow, the next day. You're one day closer to meeting Jesus face to face. That's just the reality. So he's saying the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. And there's a time we're in the middle of right now between the already Christ has come, the kingdom of God is established, but it's not here altogether, right? It's going to come. The new heavens, the new earth are going to come. That is the full blazing brightness of day. We have a little bit of the night left, right? We're living kind of in that space. But he's saying, get up, you know, wake up. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness. Darkness died with Christ, right? And put on the armor of light. So we need our armor of light because day's here, day is dawning. Kingdom of God is here already and it's preparing to go into its fullness. So we want to put aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. There's that thing again, night versus day, right? Not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. That's just simply not who you are in Christ. He's saying that's not who you are. That all died with Christ. That's not a part of your life anymore. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. So we put on Christ, and what was before is simply not a part of our life anymore. When we get up and we take our pajamas off and we put our work clothes on, our armor on, we're prepared to go out and do battle, to go out and do work, to get things done. And whatever was going on in the past is done. We're busy doing what it is Christ has called us to do. So going through this again, we think that Jesus is God in human flesh, came to live our life, forged a new life in our human flesh, his own God-like life, right, in us. And he took it through the cross into death, and then rose from the grave and ascended, bearing our glorified human flesh into the presence of the Father. So we, as Paul says, find that our true life is hidden with Christ in God. So Paul says, put on Christ. Put on the truth of who we are. We want to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. When Jesus ascended into glory with his glorified human flesh, he sent the Spirit. Every one of us individually now can, by faith, by trusting in him, receive that gift and have Christ's life living in us, through us. And we want to open ourselves up to that. We want to be awake, alert, attentive to God living his life in us and through us. In Galatians 2:20, you know, Paul says that when we died with Christ, and Christ now is not our life now, it's Christ in us, through us. That's what really matters now. And then we want to put on Christ in the sense of putting on The armor of God, the armor of light, right? What if you read these passages that I've written here, 1 Thessalonians 5:8, 2 Corinthians 6:7, Romans 6:13, and Ephesians 6:13. In all of those passages, Paul uses that expression of armor. Well, if you read, especially looking at Ephesians 6:13 and so on, when he talks about the armor of God, what is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Because he says, put on the helmet of salvation. Who's our salvation? Jesus is, right? Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Who's our right relationship with God? Jesus is our right relationship with God. You want to turn to Christ. He says, put on a belt of truth. Well, who is truth? Well, we learn about the Spirit of truth, the God of truth, but also that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? So we gird ourselves with Christ. And then he says, carry the shield of faith. And where is our faith? Our faith is in Christ, and he's his perfect faith in the Father, right? Becomes our faith. And we put on the shoes of the preparation of gospel of peace. What does that have to do with? Obviously, with Jesus. And then we bear the sword of the Spirit, Christ in us, the hope of glory, yeah? The word of God and prayer. These are all ways in which we put on Christ. And so just when you ponder that and think about it and pray about it and ask God to put those things up, put Christ on us. That could be part of your daily, or however you want to do it, conversation with God is, hey, I want to put on the armor of God. This is something I want to participate in what Jesus is doing and has done. So one of the ways we put on Christ too, in our one-time baptism. And as our, it's a practice the church has done because Jesus was baptized and we are baptized in his baptism. And it shows that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we want to do that. We want to clothe ourselves with Christ by actually going and being baptized. We are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're not baptized into a church. We're not baptized into some, but we are baptized into the body of Christ as a whole. And we are included in Christ. So we put on Christ through baptism. So for all of you who are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. It's a redemptive. Put our faith in him in this way. And another way that we put on Christ is we take communion together. We do this in an ongoing way. And we do this in remembrance of Christ. And it's a way that we can remember that we take Christ in the sense we are nourished by Christ. He is our life. And that's just a lot of the different expressions that are used in Scripture to help us understand that we put on Christ. We put off the old because that all died with Christ. It's not a part of our life anymore. We're continuing to put on Christ in this way. And we also practice Christ-like ways of caring for ourselves and others. Part of the way that we participate in Christ is we are busy doing what Christ is doing. That's why we got to put these work clothes on, put the armor of God on, because we're going to go participate in what Jesus is doing in this world. What is he doing? He is busy sharing the good news about the love of the Father. And he's also making all things new. That's something he's doing right now. And we can participate in that, in his renovation and renewal of all he has made. And we can participate in that. And so, another thing we can think about in putting off and putting on Christ is to begin and end our day focused on the spiritual realities. We can practice spiritual disciplines, and that just gives us ways to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, to be attentive and listening to Christ, to be open to what He might want to say to us, how He might want to mend our broken hearts, how He might want to inspire and guide us as we serve and love others. It's a way to keep us focused on God in Christ by the Spirit. And each day then becomes this putting off and putting on, right? It's a life that we live, this new life that is ours in Christ. And we're participating even now in the kingdom of God by the Spirit. One day the kingdom will come in its fullness when Jesus brings the new heaven, new earth, right? Meanwhile, we're living it out each day, participating in Christ's life with the Father and the Spirit, and learning to love God and love each other. We just something we practice each day and learn and grow. So we come today to communion. We want to take this together and take a moment to reflect on all that Christ has done for us. And we are reminded the essentials of our faith. We died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in His glory now and forever. And we give Him thanks for all these things. Let's pray. Father, Son, Spirit, thank You for clothing us with Christ. And we receive that. And we receive it with gratitude. Fill us with Your Spirit again. And let Your life flow into us and through us, out from us into others, so that they may know Your love as well. We thank You for all this, and we receive all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus offered the bread and said, "Take, eat." He said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." We want to remember and be grateful. Thank You, Jesus. And He offered the fruit of the vine, said, "Drink this in remembrance of Me." Thank You, Jesus. So now may the Lord, who is the embodiment of the law, awaken you to the salvation that is yours in Himself. May He dress and adorn you with Himself. And we thank Him for all these gifts and blessings. God bless you. Have a great week. Take care.